The Comedy Store would like you to know that the views and opinions expressed on this podcast are strictly those of the speakers or authors and do not necessarily reflect or represent the views and opinions held by the Comedy Store and its affiliates.
That's the good thing about the Comedy Store. We know who the real... Everyone knows who the real are. And everyone knows who, like, have to, you know, get a couple gigs in here to pay some bills and, like, fill some seats. You know, it's unspoken, but...
A couple months ago, there was a nut, I think he was in Vargas's room. He was just an audience member. They had to throw him out because he was like, I'm better than any comic on the stage. Comedy Store says they have great comics. I'm like, so you're at a Bringer show.
Yeah.
Sit.
And somebody should have talked
to him. They kicked him out because he was right. He was, they said he's actually far funnier than anyone we've had on the show tonight.
And then he started a beef with like Crystalia on Crystalia wrote, somebody wrote, follow Crystalia. And he goes, I'll follow anybody, any of those, because they all suck. Every one of them at the Comedy Store suck. But we didn't know, like Chris was getting into it, taking the bait. Guy. And then he realized, oh, he was at Vargas' show.
Yeah, that makes sense.
My Uber driver is like, yo, I'm a big fan of Chris Dahlia.
Love
I'm like,
that.
Come on, bro.
Yeah, so I've heard someone else said it similar. Dahlia or Delia or someone like, and I was like, you obviously love him.
Yeah, if you just read the name, you know, it's tough.
Well, some people can't say it. They're pretty retarded out there.
I saw one person hit it with the O apostrophe like he was Irish.
Really?
That's Chris Olia.
No.
Elia.
Actually, Irera says Delio all the time. I'm like, Dom, you're Italian. Say
Yeah, that's got to be just a purposefully disrespectful thing, which I respect.
He loves him.
Where is the legend Dom Herrera?
He's on the road right now.
He is always on the road.
Always on the road. Never stops working.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. He was in Austin last week. I can't remember.
Did he
remember
do that Moon Tower thing or whatever it was? Oh, I saw him. He was on Kill Tony or. He was on the episode
on
of Kill Tony where the guy on mushrooms attacked Jeremiah.
And Dom got up
He was on mushrooms?
Away.
Yeah, they call the guy up, pick his name out of the bucket or whatever, and he goes up there, and he almost falls over immediately. And he's like, I'm not drunk. And then everyone kind of laughs. Then Dom's like, you know what's crazy? It's just how, you know, alcohol just doesn't affect some people. And the guy's like, fuck everyone. Fuck Blockbuster.
He just started
yelling. Like, what?
My favorite line was when Dom sat back down. He goes, I think he's more of a writer.
Yeah.
And the guy was just like ready to fall.
And right when he started getting real crazy, suddenly you just see Dom and Jay, Big Jay, was sitting next to him. They're the two comics. And they have like a brief word between each other, and then Dom gets up and Jay just moves over into the seat closest to him, like
hoping to get in a fight, hoping to be able to snap someone's neck.
And once the
he's from Philly, he's full blown anger.
Rough.
Yeah.
And
wait,
he's a big
they're both from Philly.
Oh yeah, but Dom was smart enough to
Dom's like, I'm not dealing with
knocked over by some idiot.
And then as soon as the dude started trying to attack Jeremiah Watkins, Jay was there to. You're like, I'll punch someone.
Jeremiah was just holding his saxophone.
He didn't want a saxophone.
Who attacks a guy with a saxophone?
No,
that's the meanest thing ever.
Fuck Blockbuster!
So the dude on mushrooms, Kevin Allen, like, whatever he wanted to do, he remembered that was the punchline.
That was the one joke.
And so he'll just keep saying it, whether he remembered the setups or not.
Wow, was Blockbuster a reference to a joke, or was it?
No, I think
he just tried.
Came out. Yeah.
Yeah, he tried to get into a joke, and it was like, he was so fucked up, and he was like, Netflix is better, right? And then people are laughing because he's so fucked up, and then he just loses his shit and just goes, fuck Blockbuster!
Yo, we've seen it all.
Yeah.
Dude, but have you done Kill Tony? You know what it is?
No, I've never done Kill. I've seen it, but I've never done it.
It's open micers that come up, and they get, what, 1 minute?
1 minute.
1 minute. I mean, that's...
And then you just ruin
as it is.
You just try and ruin them.
And you just wreck them?
Yeah.
Occasionally
you get someone who's like, well, you know, I think if you do this, you're like, what are you doing? Just make fun of them.
There's so many mean-spirited shows here. The Comedy Store has a lot of mean-spirited shows.
Like to come.
There was a guy who...
It's going
to
be just like, let's see who can
somebody.
Hit the comic with the bow and arrow.
Yeah.
Like, fuck it.
The one guy...
It's coming.
I think it was the second time I did the show. The guy started... Like he was like micro machine style, just speed going through jokes, and we're all just like, "What the fuck is wrong with this guy?" And he's like, "Well, I wanted to get as much in," and everyone was like, "I mean, you were going really fast. We couldn't understand anything you were saying. Well, I only had a minute. I wanted to get as much in as possible." It's like, don't worry about it, dude. And then at the end, he was like, you can get my comedy album. And we were like, how many times have you done comedy? He's like, this is my third time ever.
Albums. He has an album.
He recorded an album at his house and then added crowd effect.
My joke?
You're right. Didn't you these girls all act like they got an album coming out? Is that you?
I think it's that's Brett.
Who says that? Brett Ernst? Yeah. Somebody says that. It drives me. And I always think of that and I'm like, everybody does have a fucking album coming out.
Yeah.
Like it's this.
I feel like I've had
no matter who you meet.
Yeah, I've had that happen, and I do know multiple girls that have albums coming out that are never going to come out.
Yeah. I'm not crazy.
I know some
poor
singers.
Everyone has a fucking album out.
And you knew my old girl who actually did have an album. You know, Rebecca
and
actually
was
a singer.
Very talented.
Very talented. She actually did have an album.
This is weird how we start the Comedy Store podcast. We just keep talking. Is that weird?
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, no,
so
I don't
we'll
know.
Introduce,
listen.
This is the Comedy Store podcast.
Yeah, that's true. This is a Comedy Store podcast. I'm your host, Rick Ingram.
And I'm Eleanor Kerrigan.
She's Chuckle Girl from every morning radio show across the country.
Oh, Johnny.
He's so silly.
You gotta check her out backstage tomorrow night at the Rat Concert.
Yeah, we've known
Elle
forever.
Mike Young. Yeah, we have Mike Young here with us. So.
Mr. Mike Young.
Thanks for having me in the basement of the Comedy Store where multiple people
have
been dead
over
years. I have been down here. I came down to do Brett's podcast with him and Pete Giovanni.
Oh, Brett Ernst.
Yeah, Brett Ernst. Yeah. And then they just, I think, you know, Brett doesn't do well on drinking. Like if he drinks, he's just not a good drinker. He just should never drink.
I never knew that.
So they just basically,
I don't think I've ever seen him drink.
They talked over me the whole time. I literally was like, why did you ask me to come downstairs
what was the
right
point?
Now?
That's how I used to feel. I did like the Death Squad podcast at the Ice House one time.
Oh, yeah, the Friday night one.
Rogan and Diaz were both there, and then it was just them talking. It was funny. I just was like, why am I here?
Yeah.
Like, am I just here to laugh? Because
you were good. You would sneak out. I would sit there till the end, getting a contact high and barely saying
Yeah, no, I would just get up. After like 5 minutes, I can't take listening to anything.
No,
like,
I knew,
good.
You know, when I was on the road with Rogan back in the day when Brian was his assistant
Red
and was Red Band, was rolling around with a computer. And he like, just like, who's this like weird fucking wonder kid who understands technology that like isn't even here yet? And
he truly was, just like this, was like a wonder kid.
Yeah, no, he was like, Brian's super, super smart with all that stuff. And I remember he was like hooking up Joe's website and like, he'd always have his computer with him and he was just like, I'm like, where'd you find this kid? He's like, in the middle of Ohio.
Yeah.
Like, I just found him in Ohio, and he was a fan, and it's been fun watching, like, that whole evolution.
Fuck yeah. Wait, you opened for Rogan? I didn't
Back
know
in the
that.
Day.
When? How long ago? That's
Oh, my
great.
God, like, 13 say, years ago.
Yeah, you were like, you are his opener.
I was his opener.
Yeah.
Wow, that's great. I don't think I remember that.
Really? But you were here.
Yeah, I don't pay attention.
I remember Joe was like digging my comedy and he came up to me in the back of the Comedy Store one time. He was like, yo, bro, I got a bunch of dates. Do you want to do them? I was like, I feel like I owe you a hand job. I'm like, that's my dream, bro. You're telling me I'm going to go on the road with you right now, like to 20 cities or whatever it was. And so for like, it was like 2 years I rolled with Joe.
Yeah.
He was just starting the podcast though?
No, he was just getting into the UFC stuff.
Oh.
Actually,
right. It was Fear Factor days.
It was
towards the end of the Fear Factor.
It was just after Fear Factor, and like he was doing UFC stuff for like free. He was doing it for free. It was just becoming like his thing. And he was like, "Yeah, I'm just doing this for free. But if they ever re-up my contract, I'm definitely gonna like sign a real deal." And so it was those days where we would go like every city, Rogan, and you know. I like boxing. I don't like UFC shit. I don't grapple. I don't get on a mat. I just don't wrestle.
I'm too tall. Of a boxer guy.
You know that. I don't wrestle.
You put
me in a headlock, I'll fucking cry.
You put me in a headlock, I'll cry.
You don't want men grabbing you and holding you tight?
I don't
want to
be fucking humped up on shit. Get off me.
You don't
want to
be held by a man in his underoos?
You know what I mean?
Thumbed on the butthole?
And we would go to those gyms. Like, we'd go to those gyms. And like the old school, like the original, like the Chuck Liddell dudes and like the first dudes that were in it, we'd go to their
Shamrock
gyms
days,
and I remember, and like Eddie Bravo was with him, and he
was
wrestling
really
and grappling. And
that dude always
Eddie loves to
he always
wrestle.
Made me so uncomfortable.
Eddie Bravo,
just very weird. Where I was, you have to keep an eye on him because you're like, he could
Snap.
Literally make me pass out and then do whatever disgusting things to me I'm sure he was going to do.
Absolutely. Yeah, he was like a little scrappy guy.
Tommy.
Yeah.
No, he was like a world ranked.
Yeah, no, I know it.
He tapped out of Gracie, if I remember. And Tommy would always go, well, what do you think Joe's doing with that guy, that Eddie guy? What do you think they do? Have you seen the pictures of Ari's butthole? I didn't catch those. Well, they're gay. That's what I'm saying.
He would say that shit?
Yeah, I was like, no, we understand what you were saying.
Always called them gay.
Well, what do you think they're doing? Guys hanging out with guys? I'd be like, wait, most my friends are guys.
Holy shit,
I'm
gay. What are you saying?
Well.
Yo, they thought I was a bitch because I wouldn't take the lessons. Like, we'd go to these gyms and they're like, I'd be hitting the heavy bag just alone.
I was going to say, didn't you box? Yeah.
Yeah, but I just hit the head. That's all I do is hit the heavy bag, jump rope, do my thing. They're fucking full out, killing each other on the mat. I remember back in the day, Joe was like, come on, get in there. I was like, no. He's like, fucking pussy. I'm like, it's just not my thing.
I would have got right in there and fought just because I you love would've. That. Yeah, I'm an idiot.
You're a scrapper.
I would have got hurt, but I didn't care. I wouldn't have cared. Yeah. I'll fight anybody. Like, I tease Joe all the time. I'm like, I'll fight you right now. And then when I used to wrestle, me and Joe would like wrestle in the kitchen, and Irera would just be sitting there like every time, because Joe would flip me and my head would come like an inch from the table, like a half an inch, like crazy. Damn, no. I didn't care. I love it. It's like with my brothers, it's the same thing. They beat the shit out of me.
But I feel that way about boxing.
It's weird. Sorry. I brought it to blue. Sorry.
Yes.
That's like a Tell's joke. There's nothing, dude. You ever wrestle with your dog till you come? There's nothing weird about that.
I love that. Fucking I never heard that one. That's one of my favorites.
Yo, I was lucky. I got to open for a lot of cool
dudes
like that. You opened
for a Tell?
Yeah, a bunch of shows because we had the same manager. Becky was my manager for like 5 years.
Biggest crush.
You know? God. I know. I remember that you liked him.
Wait, is this Dave Becky?
Dave Becky.
See, I always would tell Adam, the manager here, that he should hook me up so that Becky would be my manager. And he'd be like, why would you ask me to do it? I'm like, just call him. Be like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Adam won't even pass your message on to fucking Eric.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
You can't get Adam to do anything. I love Adam, but he's not going to do nothing. Fucking shit
nothing.
For you.
I wanted to, I'm looking to shoot something, actually, in the Comedy Store. So I filled out a form. I did the whole thing. Like, I filled out what
out
I need.
Form?
I'm like, trying to make it all proper.
Right,
yeah.
This motherfucker, he's like, just fill out the, you know, what days and what hours and what parts and da-da-da. And I did it. Like, 2 weeks ago, I fucking did it. He's like, I passed it on to the powers that be. I'm like, who are the powers?
Yeah.
He's like, Eric.
Eric.
So I
and
see
Peter.
Eric just now. He goes, no, nobody gave me a message. What are you talking about? I said, when I see Adam, we got a problem.
I first contacted the Comedy Store about filming a comedy special. It's been 26 months now.
Yay.
You should do a special here, Rick.
We'll do it, but we get to produce it. And I was like, all right, cool, let's do it. And now it's been over 2 years, and they're still just like, well, we got to get final approval from Peter.
Who? For what?
I have no idea.
What's the big bullshit thing?
I just think it's not going to happen. I'm at the point now.
It's going to happen. Trust me. I know it's going to happen.
That's bureaucratic bullshit red tape.
6 months?
Rick Ingram should have a Comedy Store special here.
I agree.
And I should direct it.
But we are, ooh.
Last I heard, they said we can't get a member of the guild, so we're just going to get someone from UCLA. I go,
what the fuck
does that mean?
Well, you don't want that because you need a professional.
You know Mike has directed movies and
stuff. I do know
like that. Yes.
I had a
few now. Yeah. What are you up to, three?
Three.
Four? Three?
Yeah.
My father-in-law, I was telling him one night up here, my father-in-law was like, oh, you got to watch this movie. And he starts telling me about it. I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's Mike's movie. And so then he's like, my father-in-law's from Long Island, but he moved to Israel when his parents moved when he was younger. And so he just has like this thing about having to leave New York. And he's like, he always jokes about how people were looking for his dad or something.
So he totally related
to
his stand-up guy.
He was so into it, yeah.
Stand-up
guy. Did you tell me that?
Yeah.
I think
I told you one night we were standing, the show was going on and I was just talking during the show, but
I love that.
Yeah.
It's great, right?
So he was all about
one fan? I love one fan.
Than one fan.
Yeah, no,
I was able to download it and never watched it.
Don't worry about
I'm
it.
An asshole.
You haven't watched it either. Rick,
I did watch it.
Did you?
Yeah, yeah.
But I did pay.
Saget singing. It took me a minute to even realize it was Saget.
Yeah.
I'm like,
that's amazing. What's it
Mike
called?
Mike makes a cameo in jail, which
in
I
jail?
Loved.
Yeah, thanks,
like,
Rick.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. You know, that shit was heavy making a movie because, you know, it's heavy. It's just a lot of work. And then you have battles because you're not, even though I'm the director and supposedly the boss on set, you know, the money guys will always
producers
be the
always
true
want
bosses.
Their way. Yeah.
Sure.
So the creative battles are like the wars that just fucking run you, just, you know, get in your head. And,
but it's so hard just to get anything done. Yeah. You only got one done. You got three done. I mean,
I've been very lucky.
Shit is. I did a web series and almost lost my life. I don't know how.
Yeah.
It's been great. I'm digging it. I like directing. It's actually something I kind of fell into it, but I fell in love with it. It's because you're in a zone and you
have a good eye.
I got an eye, and I mean, I don't have a great visual eye. Like, I'm getting better with the visuals, like with like the actual filmmaking. I'm no, you know, Fellini at all. I just,
really?
I got lucky.
I was putting
I've always
Fellini
said that
young.
The Fellini of comedy.
People are always calling me that. It's so weird how prophetic that was. But no, I knew the rhythm of the language, like the writing and the
beats.
Comedy. I knew my beats.
Yeah.
So the beats are what I sold. You know, that's how they allowed me to direct my first movie. I convinced them.
That's awesome.
You know,
wow.
They were like, "We're actively looking for a director." I'm like, "I 100% can do this." I literally called them and I was like, "I can do this."
I moved. I was in film school and I moved out here. I was like,
"Where?"
I went to film school at College of Santa Fe, which was so terrible it no longer exists. Only college I've ever heard of that disbanded. Or it's like, wait, what?
That's like some Napoleon Dynamite shit. Yeah. You say that, and in my mind, I just see like a teacher that doesn't know much. You know what I mean?
My English teacher, her name was Miss Davis, and it was like 2,000 undergrads, little art school downtown Santa Fe. So Miss Davis, she just seemed like a fucking fruit where you're just like, this lady's fucking nuts.
Whacked out.
Yeah, so like a month and a half into my first semester, I go to class and she doesn't show up. So after like 30 minutes, we're like, fuck it, we're all leaving.
Yeah.
I don't even know if we waited 30 minutes. But we went back to a couple days later, she wasn't there again. I was like, oh, this is crazy. Went back on Friday, not there. So it was like full week not having to go to English class. That's cool. Next week, go Monday. Not there. So at that point, I'm like, fuck this. I'm not going until someone tells me she comes back. So like a solid month goes by. And then someone is like, hey, Miss Davis came to class. I'm like, you still going to class? She was like, yeah, she said to tell everyone to come on Wednesday and we're going to pick up where we left off. I was like, all right. So I go to
that
class
is
on
some
Wednesday.
Casual shit.
She's like, first of all, I'm no longer Miss Davis. I want everyone to call me Marmica.
Oh,
and we were all like, okay. All right, Marmica. And she was like, so I've been gone for a little while because I was at the fair. And everyone's like, what the fuck is this bitch talking about?
That's phenomenal.
And then she had there was this dude, Colin, who I don't know what his major was. He wasn't a film major, but dude was legit retarded, I think.
Yes.
And he shows up and he's tripping balls. And he's like, oh shit, bitch, you're back. And we're all just dying. Like, he just called her a bitch. She's like,
that's not her name.
Colin, sit down. And so he sits down and starts, she's like, what's wrong with you? And he's like, I'm tripping balls. And she makes him explain what he was feeling. Oh, I can feel your energy. It's wonderful. I was just like, I gotta get the fuck out of this college.
Were you writing stories in that class? Was it like English? Was it creative writing too, or was it just English?
No, it was just like we were supposed to read some books, although we never were given any books.
Is this the opening scene in Rick's journey into comedy?
Oh, I mean, it should have been.
Are you from Santa Fe?
No, I'm from Kansas City.
Yeah.
And so,
how'd you end up in Santa Fe?
It's the only acceptance letter he got.
Mine was Arizona, by the way.
It wasn't even.
I cheated to get my shit. Like, it wasn't trust me even, when I tell you.
Yeah, and I didn't even get accepted. They literally showed up at my high school and they're like, we see on your PSAT, you said you're interested in cinematography. I was like, yeah.
We're looking for.
We need students. Bad. And like, now I meet all these people. Like Mervis, the guy used to work here. Oh, he's also a College of Santa Fe dropout.
Oh my
God. Annie Lederman.
Yeah, Annie Lederman.
She actually She actually stayed for 6 years and got her degree.
Shut up.
And she was like, and then they closed the school the semester after I got out. I'm like, could you imagine if you didn't get that last semester in? You were there for 6 years and they're like, college is closing, sorry.
That makes weird sense.
There's so many people, though, yeah.
Why does it? I mean, because she's from
She's
Philly.
Whacked out.
Yeah, she's funny as shit. I love her.
Yeah, I love her, too. But she's every time I see her, she busts my balls. It's like,
yeah.
Can we just have a normal conversation?
No,
stop
she has
it.
To be. No. She loves to fight.
She's feisty. I haven't seen her in a while.
She was just here. She's back in New York now, but.
Right.
She was just here like 2 weeks ago. But yeah, that's fucking funny.
Yeah, it's all these weird people. You meet them, you're like, oh, that, yeah, that's why. That's why we're here now.
I've never heard of it. I don't even know where Santa Fe is. That's how scary I am.
Capital of New Mexico.
I mean, I can see it.
Not a single building taller than three stories. That's how you know your capital city is important.
Where is where's Breaking Bad take place? Is that Santa Fe?
That's Albuquerque.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Albuquerque.
Yeah, it's like 40 minutes south.
Okay.
So,
but I think that like all that area, Breaking Bad, I think it all looks the same.
So yeah, it kind of does.
I can't tell like, what's what.
Season 2 of Better Call Saul was a lot in Santa Fe.
Was it?
Because that's what that was.
Gotta watch that.
That was where he accepted his job.
I haven't seen
He's
that
so
one.
Good in that.
He's so good, man. That show. Aaron Paul, he's in my new movie. He's just a side note. He's
You got another one coming out.
I do. It's called Grounded. I didn't direct it. I just wrote it and produced
it. That's amazing.
Yeah, but he's in it with Jeff Daniels. And I actually...
Oh, my God. That's great.
Yeah. Jeff Daniels, Aaron Paul, and Tom Berenger's in it.
Fuck yeah.
It's a strong
cast. He's my favorite
cast.
Tom.
Yeah, he's a strong
I love
Tom.
Berenger.
He's like real deal, too, man. Yeah. You know, you think of him like when before I met him, I was like, oh, this guy's, you know, been in the game forever. He's probably like some cool stuff. But he's like real deal actor, like really in like, the takes the care. Like he is really in the character. Like he was living in the skin of the character. He was
sweet.
Yeah, it was cool. But my point was that I saw Aaron Paul before I was ever a fan of Breaking Bad. I swear to God, I was on an airplane. No joke. And originally, Emile Hirsch was going to play the role. He was Hirsch was going to be the star of the movie.
He's terrific.
His schedule got whacked and like this weird schedule thing. And so I'm on an airplane. I'm watching. There's a guy next to me watching Breaking Bad. I can't hear it, but I'm just watching. And I knew Aaron Paul because I did like a short film thing and he was in it. And I didn't know him well at all, and I had not seen Breaking Bad, but I'm watching this scene on the guy's, I'm watching his video, his computer.
You were that creep.
I was creeping on a dude shit on my airplane. And I saw him on this scene, and he's like, Aaron Paul's like fighting, and he's crying, and he's wrestling
Amazing.
Cranston. He's going fucking bananas. And I'm like, what is that show? I tell the guy, what is that show? And when I landed, I called the producer of the movie. I was like, you got to go get Aaron Paul for this movie. Like, he's got to be the guy.
Yeah.
And whatever, long story short, Aaron Paul became the guy.
That's great.
So we'll
Have
see what
seen
happens with that movie.
Jeff Richards do the impression of him?
Yes.
I can't. I go crazy.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty good.
Every time I walk in the room and Richards is on, he's always, he was 9
He was
9
years old.
And I can't get enough of it.
Yeah. But Aaron Paul, that character Jesse, he always like he says yo all the time. He's like
yo,
that's how he talks.
Yeah.
But he said he got that from the guy that created the show. I think it's Vince Gilligan.
Yeah, Gilligan.
Creator?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, he
Genius.
Talks like that.
He talks like that,
saying.
So he took that from him. Just a little tidbit.
He's also Aaron Paul's also in a little gem of Hollywood known as Bad Girls from Valley High.
Well.
Is
which
he
a young Christopher D'Elia?
Oh, D'Elia?
No.
Or D'Elia?
Christopher O'Elia? So
you believe it?
When D'Elia first showed up here, my now wife was my girlfriend, and she was like, what's he from? I'm like, I have no idea. I don't think he's in anything. And she was like, no, I haven't seen any of this stuff. Something called Bad Girls from Valley High and something else.
She recognized him from Bad Girls from Valley High.
She saw him on some TV show, but she was going down his IMDb trying to figure out what she saw him on.
That's
and then
phenomenal.
I was like, I go, that sounds terrible. What is that? So then we downloaded it, and D'Elia plays. He's got short hair and he's all jacked.
No way.
And he plays the high school jock.
Holy shit.
And then Aaron Paul is the nerdy kid that D'Elia at one point he's like bullying him.
That's phenomenal.
But so I started bringing Chris up. I'm like, you guys probably recognize this guy from Bad Girls from Valley High. Until he was like, no fucking way. He's how the fuck did you know about that? It's unbelievable. If you get the chance, check it out, everyone.
Such a dick. I love it.
So the one night Aaron Paul was here, he was in the main room, And I was like, oh, this is going to be perfect. I'm going to bring up
Thalia. It's a reunion.
Yeah. So I said, oh, man, I don't know if you guys have seen a little movie known as Bad Girls from Valley High, but this next guy was one of the stars. And then Thalia later was like, oh, dude, it was so funny because Aaron Paul and him were hanging out at the VIP lounge.
Right, and VIP.
He was saying his girl was like, oh, I want to see it. And he was like, no, that's the one movie you're never allowed to see. He just plays this huge
Chris's
dork in
it.
Was
no, saying no, it? Or
Aaron Paul's girl.
Aaron
yeah,
Paul got it.
100%. I'm going to check that movie out.
Yeah,
me too. He said it before, and I forgot about it.
It's spectacular.
So I have to remember to do it.
We've got some old teen idols here at the Comedy Store. Court,
certainly.
Court was
Court.
Yeah.
My
Dazed and Confused.
Goes crazy.
Wasn't he Dazed and Confused?
No,
was,
Can't Buy Me Love.
Can't Buy Me Love. Right.
My little sister was like, "Oh my God, you know." Quentin, I think, was his name, and I'm like, who the
Teen
fuck
Wolf.
Is Quentin?
Was he in Teen Wolf?
He was
yes,
on the basketball
Teen Wolf.
Team
yep.
with Michael
yep.
J. Fox and the fat guy.
I love all these dudes playing, like, acting in sports and movies, but they're not athletes
at
like,
all. Yeah.
No.
Like, Court can golf.
Yeah,
but I don't think he can throw a ball. And yeah. I don't know if Thalia can or not, but I guess that Thalia is not like a like he didn't play grow up playing a bunch of
sports. Yeah, I don't
think
so.
I don't remember him playing it with us.
It's so funny.
He yeah. didn't play with us a lot.
Anyone who took acting seriously as a kid was usually not an athlete.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
you know, Stamos is in my movie, right? And
yeah.
He's in My Man as a Loser. So Stamos, the part was for a hockey player. Like, I wrote it like as a men's league hockey team. So he calls. He's like, yo, bro, listen, I can't skate. I'm like, don't worry. We'll just put you on rollerblades. I'll turn it into a roller league. He's like, ah, listen, bro. I can't roller skate. I can't rollerblade. I'm like, can you fucking just sit on a bench with a stick in your hand and in tennis shoes and I'll make it a street hockey men's league? He's like, let's just give that a shot. But this dude
oh,
is no athlete.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Did
Sweet
you
guy.
Have to bring it all the way down to that?
I brought it all the way down to a men's hockey league. Street hockey league in New York City.
You couldn't throw a pair of skates on him and push him
no,
around?
No, because the insurance, like if he
oh.
fell.
Yeah.
He literally didn't know how to, he didn't even look right holding a hockey stick. He didn't.
I can't ice skate for the life of me.
No?
No.
Have you tried?
Yeah, I mean, we used to try when I was younger. I couldn't roller skate either. I've only
wow.
rollerbladed once, and that was a little easier, but you put me on ice on skates and I'll go down like every 5 seconds.
I love hockey.
Do you think it's fear?
It.
Me too.
Love
but
it.
I love, I mean, we always played street hockey.
Right.
I didn't play. But skates I'm good at and ice skating I'm really good at. My
yeah.
dad could
You're from
only.
Philly.
I know. My dad could only ice skate backwards. How weird is that?
That is the weirdest thing I've ever
he
heard.
He sounds
Actually,
like a badass.
That is the weirdest and coolest thing
forward.
I've ever heard. Really?
Yeah, so he would take my mom ice skating.
So he's
and
a
he
defenseman.
Would just be
he's a natural
yes, exactly.
defenseman. That's how I became a defenseman. I could skate
there
backwards
you go.
Early well. Like
yeah.
I had solid
I,
backwards.
We don't. I guess we. Yeah, we just didn't do hockey in Kansas City. We didn't
yeah,
have a team.
Hockey.
So
not a big sport over there.
Yeah, we're basically football, baseball, basketball. That's pretty much
we
it.
We had a kid.
Big baseball over there.
Oh,
yeah.
Baseball is great. My nephew's going to play baseball in Missouri on a minor league team.
Really?
What
River
a
Rats.
Loser!
Leave my kid alone.
What a loser!
Why? Because it's Missouri on
yeah,
the other side.
Yeah, because he's over there playing in
the hipper
the
side.
Slums of the Midwest.
Because he's Kansas City. Kansas.
My minor league baseball is that's a weird life. That's a tough life.
No, he's hoping he's very
Happy.
Positive on he's going to get drafted. It
Maybe
takes
he probably
him
I mean,
he
could.
Just graduated.
If he's playing in the minors, he's obviously amazing.
Last year he's really good. And
yeah.
last year they were on ESPN, they were in the World Series. The VCU.
Oh, see, he was one of those
so
teenage
he was,
kids.
Yeah. No, college.
Okay, college
so
World
then,
Series.
He plays for
even,
who?
He used to play for VCU,
oh,
Virginia
okay.
Commonwealth.
Yeah, yeah.
And so even though him and the other kid it was great on his team, neither one of them got drafted.
Yeah.
So they both went this route in hopes to. But
yeah.
he did graduate. So he's got that. If shit goes
right.
bad,
yeah.
he's prepared for the next whatever. But he's only 22, so why stop
right.
now?
No, he's
know?
Getting paid in the minors.
Yeah,
getting paid in the minors.
The kid who lived next door to me growing up, he was like the best pitcher in Kansas when he
wow.
was a senior. And
yeah.
he's also like a genius. And so he ended up, he went and pitched at Oklahoma.
Oh, nice.
And then when he got out, he got drafted by the Giants. Played minor league ball for a couple of years, and then he went and played in Korea and made some money, and then came
I
back.
Mean,
he's like a doctor now, or
right,
some
of course.
Shit.
There's other routes.
By 28, he was like, "I'm out."
Those guys with the golden path.
Yeah, and you're just like, "Wait, you're genius and good at sports?
Damn.
Fuck you!"
That's a weird combination.
I got nothing.
There's a few of them. Bill Bradley, who's the fucking, you know, Bill Bradley, who's, what was he, governor?
Yeah, or senator or something.
Senator,
yeah.
Governor, whatever. He was, you know, all-star, played for the Knicks yeah. back in the day. You know, he was a genius and a ball player.
Yeah, I guess
there's
genius.
There's a few
I guess I don't look at
there.
Senators as geniuses. I could see them being athletic, but
yeah,
not
yeah,
smart.
Yeah, you're right. I heard he was very smart in school, though, Bill Bradley. He could have done a lot.
Poor Bill Bradley. We had a kid in our neighborhood. We called his... I don't even know his real last name. It'll come to me, I'm sure. But we called him Mr. Fuji after the wrestler.
That's pretty racist.
Yeah.
Well, you know L's whole family was like, got some funny racist shit. Like,
I mean,
just,
it's all racist.
Mr. Asian Fuji. Kid came through, a black kid
oh,
came through.
Oh, we didn't
Who
have
knows?
Any Asian kids in our neighborhood. We just called him Mr. Fuji. He was right. Italian for sure. Right. But he would be our goalie. And he didn't need any pads. He's like, no, it's good. I got it. Because we were poor. So he's yeah. like, I got it. So like we just saw him when I was home over Easter. My brother John,
still
he's
around.
Like, yo, Fooj, listen, we want to play hockey. We don't have any pads. Is that cool? Can we just hit the ball? Poor kid had like a fucking hockey ball in his face, his nuts. Everywhere.
Yes.
Every 5 minutes he was bleeding. He's like, no, it's good. It's good. Let's keep going.
Still Mr. Fuji.
Yeah, he's Fooj. Just trying to get people to find out his real name.
Michael Puglisi. He came to me.
He's Puglisi. Like, they're going to respect me eventually. I just got to take 9 more shots
Dude,
to the face.
We love that kid.
Hell yeah, you do.
Yeah, he's the best. He'll do anything. He'll fight you with his face.
Is he in construction?
I don't know what Fooj does now. Fooj. Good question. Good poor question. Guy.
I hope Fooj is listening. Someone yeah, throw shit balls at Fooj.
Mike doesn't know what that is.
Yeah.
Shit balls in Philly. I had a fight with Bobby Lee because when I first met him, only Asian people that came to our neighborhood,
yeah.
it was mostly Italian and Irish.
Yeah.
Maybe a Polish kid once in a while, but he kept his mouth shut because they don't want to get hurt. So,
L is shit, a gangster.
Yeah. Sawed
off bats. You need to play a female mob boss.
I don't remember anything else
right.
other than Italian.
No
and
ethnicities.
Irish. No.
Yeah.
Very rarely. So, when you saw one, you were like, whoa.
When you saw one. She can't
what
get it out
that?
Of the DNA.
It's like seeing a black guy in Colorado. You're like, whoa.
What
holy
the
shit.
What are you doing?
What team are you on?
Are you lost?
Yeah.
Like, it's just weird. So the only time the Asians would come in our neighborhood was when they were picking up these shit balls. And they're little balls. They're ginkgo something.
Yeah,
I
something.
Think the name of it is.
I know what you're talking about. Ginkgo biloba.
Oh, they stink, man, right? And they smell terrible. So we called them shit balls. And if we played football. And
who had those? I thought those were like a new thing that like are healthy. Ginkgo biloba.
Oh,
ginkgo.
Don't listen to the Asians. They're going to try to get you to eat anything.
That's what that is.
That's why
that's
they're
like
rotting from
thing.
The inside out. Don't fucking listen to what they're saying. Listen, they
it's poison.
Stink.
It's
you
poison to
that.
Us.
Sorry, guys. These are fuelies I like. You know what I'm saying. But I'm just saying, like, it was the weirdest thing. Like, if we would play in this, you couldn't get that scent out of your clothes. So my mother would be like, God damn you. You know.
Right.
On
no tackle football on the ginkgo
you know,
balls.
So we would have to go... playing near this wrought iron fence.
Much better.
Which a few people broke some necks. It's a, it sorry,
happens.
Craig.
Shit damn
happens.
You and your 13 siblings.
Yeah.
It's a 41st pair of pants I got to wash this week. What the
Not
hell was your
fault,
mom
Daddy
doing?
Doesn't pull out. I mean, come
what
on.
What was going on, man?
Ten
How
kids.
Is it to grow up in a big ass house? With was
no,
it well, fun?
I wouldn't say big ass house.
A little house with a million kids.
Exactly. We were like the
big
lady
house
that lived
numbers.
In a shoe.
Yeah.
Because it was Fuck a row home. It's a little that. South Philly row home. Have you ever been to Philly?
Yeah.
South Philly,
I just
I mean?
Played Philly.
Oh, that's right.
Me and Saget were there.
I'm picking up my niece
I thought
later.
Your relatives were coming. No one showed up.
He texts me.
Unbelievable.
He texts me. He's like, hey, I'm going to a Flyers game. Do you have any hot cousins? And I'm thinking, I got two of the hottest nieces. And I'm like, no way am I sending my nieces with Mike Young. Fuck
How
that.
Old are they?
25.
You know what,
Elle,
that's not cool of you.
Yeah,
to not send
I'm picking
a niece.
Her up in a
that's
little bit.
Up.
Two tickets to a
Listen,
Philly game.
This yeah. kid is hot, and she is.
Elle always comes up with some weird hot
I
cousin.
Wish
what
I...
happened to your one cousin
Listen,
that was living here?
Oh my God, she's gorgeous. My little cousin
she's
Lauren.
Still here.
She moved to Atlanta
for what? To date a basketball player? For what?
Acting. It's better there.
She's acting in Atlanta.
That's
Elle,
my niece.
I fucking hate you.
Dude, that's a perfect hockey companion.
This is
companion.
Your niece.
Yeah, that's...
Rick. That's a hockey
you know
companion.
Alexa.
Never
she'll
met
be
that
here.
One.
She's the best.
I think our producer Ari's in love with that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, Ari's
what
in love
she
with
do?
Her. She's a model. No, I'm kidding. She actually, she's in film. She produces, she edits, all that.
In Philly?
Yeah, she came out here
Show
a little bit.
Show me another
bit.
Picture, please.
That's my twin. That's my twinsy. I wish I looked like her. Some people are like, yeah, she looks just like you. Is that
Has
your
she
kid?
Visited here before?
Yeah.
I think I met her with
you,
actually.
You stay away from her.
You know what? You don't have... You can't say that.
What kind of friend is that, you
I
know?
I ripped it out of his hand. Like, do
We're
we
family.
Look alike? kind of, yeah. right? Because when she moved out eyes. Here, they were like, is that your kid? Did you leave your kid to That's come out here? Up. I'm like, who the fuck would leave a kid to
Plenty
move
of
to
people.
LA?
Plenty of people.
Well, not me. I'm not. I'm in a hood rat. We wouldn't do that. We'd have five more from four Smart. Different people. You know what I mean?
You got
I
some kind of DNA going on over there.
It's crazy. Hell. My other niece, Nicole, too, she's off the hook. She runs the Trocadero in Philly.
How many
if you ever play there?
How many relatives? Trocadero? How many relatives did you not send to a hockey game with Mike Young?
You're right,
that is so
I
fucked
didn't.
Up.
Yo,
I
by
know,
the way,
I
Rick, the funniest shit was she actually Bob ignored me for a day. For one day,
Dude,
I didn't get
nervous.
A text back. I got nothing
I
back.
I got nervous.
I was
just gonna take her to a game.
I was on the road. We live a mile from there.
Oh, that's cool.
1 mile.
That's cool.
I'm sorry.
Only one of my college buddies is like, hey, man, I got two seats.
You know
two
what?
Tickets to the game. They're yours.
You know what the problem is? The problem is you're a closer. If you were some dork from the Comedy Store,
you
she would have set that up immediately.
Go on
However,
a tour
let it be
with
known,
Mike
though,
Young.
Let it be known, out of respect, I would not even go there if you told me not to go there. You'd
wow.
have to tell me, though.
That is so bullshit.
You would
have to
tell
so
me.
Bullshit.
You would have to tell
I
me.
I have had no more
If you told me, then I don't do,
do
it.
You remember my, you know my buddy Rocco, right?
Rocco?
Rocco, nice looking guy.
Yeah, Rocco,
we
the Italian.
Up, yeah, we grew up together yeah. in South Philly.
Is he dating Margaret Cho?
Yes.
Yep.
I'm like, is my mind playing tricks on me? Yeah. I went to the radio station.
But
with,
Rocco's
and he was there.
Semi a whore.
Yeah, I was about to
I
say,
love
Margaret
him,
Cho's lady.
Margaret Cho's lady is right. We call him Rock Cho. And
yeah.
so
nice. That's a perfect celebrity couple name.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
But anyways, but this was before and he was single, whatever. They've been together a couple months now.
Yeah.
Whatever. But my niece moves out. Alexa moves out. He's like, oh, I go, Rocco. No. It's like a dog. I'm like, sit. No. Don't.
Leave.
Don't touch.
Leave it.
I went away. I left her here. She's staying at my place, so she would stop by here once in a while. He's like, yo, let's go to dinner. I'm like, you fucking piece of shit. She had to block him out
What
of
does
her
Rocco
phone.
Do?
He's a comic, I think.
He knocks bitches down.
He
no,
just
I'm
knocks
kidding.
Down
he's
bitches
comic.
For money.
He's a comic, yeah. I mean, he's a comic. He bartends. He does everything. He's like a jack of all trades.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
But
Rocco
he's been auditioning a lot. And so he was
yeah.
in Florida for a while, so he's been going out. He's been getting pretty close on a lot of pilots and
yeah.
stuff, so he's trying to get in that
These
way
bastards.
Now.
These bastards.
Yeah,
you still go on, you go on auditions, Rick?
I've been on like three auditions for things that aren't commercials. I mean, I still do commercials. I did a Geico thing
one.
Yesterday, but
yeah.
in terms of like actual acting that
yeah.
you want to do, I've only ever been on three auditions.
So funny. I knew from an early time in this business, like from the time I got past here, I was never going to get anything from auditioning. I just was not.
Really?
I just wasn't good at auditions.
You had
I just
great
had a,
reps too.
I've never.
I know.
Had,
by the way, and I had great reps, and I had great deals. But I had some deals. It was all good. But I'm saying like auditioning wasn't the path
right.
that was going to get
right.
me
yeah.
where I wanted to go.
What
yeah,
year
did
my path?
I'm on a Showtime that I'm dying
oh, yeah.
up here, but I didn't
yeah.
audition for it. They just
yeah.
called me and they're
Same,
like, we
yeah.
need you to do an episode. And I'm like, all right.
God, man, I wanted to write. It's so funny, man. Like 3 years ago, I sold a show to HBO and it was that show. It was basically, but it wasn't set in the 70s or 80s.
It was
a modern
just
day.
About,
it was
right.
called The Light and Toby was producing it. And and we, that was like
Toby
the world
McGuire.
I wanted to, yeah,
yeah.
He, yeah. And that was like the world I wanted to write about so
at
bad.
At that point, I think you were, or either he or you were at CAA because Lauren Peltz was working for them.
Yeah,
she
we
was
were both
his
there.
Assistant. And she was like, oh, Mike Young's got this great show. So she was very,
yeah.
I remember hearing about that just through her because she's a gossip whore.
Yeah.
Which I
God,
love.
Those were the days.
I love Peltz.
You and Lauren,
I still talk
you guys
to her
were
all
like
the
fucking
time.
Abbott and Costello back there. You remember Lauren?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, she was funny, feisty.
I only knew her from when she came back and she would bust balls with Elle, but...
Yeah, do you know that... Have you watched that Feud show with Bette? It's about Betty
I heard
Davis.
It's great.
It's excellent. Betty Davis
yeah.
and...
I know what it is.
My mom loves it.
Sue Sarandon and...
Yeah, but I yeah. can't get enough of it. It's Joan Crawford and Betty Davis. I'm a big Betty Davis fan from when I'm a kid.
Yeah.
And one time I was waiting tables here and I was managing everything. So I went away and I was like, Lauren, you gotta watch the club. You gotta this. You know what I mean? She's like, I'm like, any problems? You gotta call me. I'm at my mom. You know, like
yeah.
a nervous wreck. Because Mitzi really put a lot on me, and
yeah.
if shit went down, I was in big trouble. So I didn't hear from Lauren for a couple of days. I'm like, fuck. So I call here. They put me through to the back, and Paul Mooney answers. Remember we used to have a phone in the kitchen? It's
yeah.
like,
yeah,
why
yeah,
is
yeah.
Paul Mooney answering? So I go. He goes, hello. you know. And I'm like, hey, Paul. Paul? And he's like, who's this? And I'm like, it's Eleanor. He goes, oh, the white lady. And I go, yes, yes, the white lady that's in charge. Well, you thought you were in charge. Well, Miss Eve Harrington is here taking over. And I'm like, who? What? And then I realized he's talking about a movie all about Eve where Betty Davis was the star.
Yeah.
Like, how gay are you?
Super.
But it was so funny. And I was like, how does he know Eve Harrington? Like,
holy shit.
Black guy know.
The movie all about Eve, Eve takes over Betty Davis's like whole career, whatever. She becomes the big star.
Sure.
So he was telling me that Lauren Peltz was taking over my business. Like, that's why hilarious. She wasn't calling me. And he goes, oh, Miss Eve Harrington is running things now. I was like, oh,
she was adorable, but she was definitely not taking shit over from you. She did not have the skill set.
Too fucking funny to do anything like that.
Yo, we didn't even, oh God, we were so not human. Like, oh, we were such animals back
then.
What
year did you get here? That's a good...
You know, I don't know. I can't think of like what the year was.
Isn't that weird?
I don't do well with years. Some people are like, in 08, I died like in the summer of 08. I don't have any sort of memory like that. But it's been like, I mean, I moved here 21 years, like almost 21 years ago. I moved to LA.
Came in 93.
Yeah.
So...
But I think I got passed by Mitzi like maybe like, I don't know, 15 years ago. I'm guessing 15, 16,
yeah.
14, 12,
I've been
19.
Here,
I have no freaking idea.
I've been here
idea.
14 years and you were a regular when I got here. So,
okay, so
we know probably, at least 15.
Yeah, it was 15 or
now,
16
did
years.
Did Becky get you that? Dave Becky get you that audition or did you go through other comics?
No, I was like standing in line. Like I started out just like the standing in line on Sunday.
Oh, you were
thing.
Doing that. Okay.
Yeah. And then I think before I was with Becky, I was with Jason Solomon.
Okay.
Was my manager.
It's a
and
nice
he got
Jewish
me,
name.
Like,
it'll
he,
work.
He got me like a 6 minute thing or whatever for Mitzi. And I did 6 minutes and I just walked off stage and Mitzi was like, come here, let me talk to you. And I was like, you know, I was like in love with her. I thought she was like the queen of everything.
Right.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, I just basically like leaned down into her ear and she's like, I'm making you a regular. Call on Monday.
One show.
Congratulations.
Wow.
It wasn't just one. No, no. I had done open mics here probably 20 times.
But
you still
have to be in front of her.
Yes. I got it. It was like one showcase for her.
Wow.
It was very, yeah, I think it was like one, I think it was only one time in front of her.
Cause yeah.
That's like the only time I remember like actually.
They're all comics that did it like between 2 and 10 years.
Yeah.
To get. On
yeah,
to get,
no, I was
to
blessed
get by her, I
and it was
say.
Like the happiest day of
yeah.
my life. You know what I mean? Like it's you know that's like the
yeah,
best
I was,
shit ever.
I when she passed me, I was so convinced. I was 21, and I was just like, "Fuck, dude, this is so easy. I'm gonna be so famous. This is ridiculous."
Some people go fast.
15 years go by, and I'm like, "Fuck, the highlight is still getting passed at the Comedy Store.
So
I've achieved
funny.
So little." But
no, people
Rick,
think it's the end all be all truth. Like when you get passed, they're like, oh, I made it.
Yeah.
I did it. And they're like,
you know
there
what?
Is that was always like that.
Right.
Yeah.
I felt like everyone felt that. I know I felt it and I knew better.
It's funny. I got passed and then she wanted me to work the door. So
it's like,
so,
it was a Johnny Sanchez.
Yeah,
same
so
thing.
I'm working the door and I'll never forget this. Dave Edwards, who I didn't even know really, but Dave
okay.
Edwards, old comic Dave Edwards, he's like, listen, bro, let me tell you a secret.
Wait, is that the Real World guy that got
yeah.
thrown in the trash can?
Yes.
Love
by PJ.
That guy. Yeah.
So he says to me
well,
one night,
he
goes,
went a little nutty.
He did.
Yeah. He says to me one night, he goes, quit working the door. Just quit. He's like, she'll respect you. She'll like, he's like on some mind fuck shit.
Yeah.
He's like, just quit the door and Mitzi will love it and she'll know you're a real comic. And so I did. I quit the door after like 2 weeks at the door. I didn't even know why I quit. Like, it was like the quickest thing. I just worked the door for 2 weeks and that was it. I quit and she was giving me spots all the time. And for a long time, I had like
crazy.
The Oshak spot. I had like the opening spot.
Right.
We invented a spot for Mike. It was called the showcase spot. Do you remember that?
No. What was it?
You would call
it?
In. This was when Corey.
Oh, yes.
Yes. L. This is when Corey was the
Yo,
Princess Corey.
I was
the
fiending for stage time.
But this was a little later, I think.
Every week, I was like, listen, I'm showcasing for ABC. Next week, I'm showcasing for Showtime. Every week, Corey would showcase.
Be like, Mike Young is showcasing. And Mitzi would be like, okay. And it just said Mike Young showcase. Yes.
Fuck yeah.
Listen, you know what? This place let
gotta
me
do
know
what you gotta do, man.
That there were no rules.
Yeah.
That you could just break rules, make rules, just break
make
shit.
Make them up as you go.
You can break your own rules about you when you're in this rules. Place.
Totally.
So she was giving you tons of spots in the beginning.
Yeah, tons of spots
that.
In the beginning.
I remember like, out of nowhere, I don't even remember you working the door. I gotta be honest.
Yeah, no, it was a 2 week period. You wouldn't have
which
seen
which is me. Crazy.
I think Johnny Sanchez was saying the same thing. Like, she passed him and was like, I want you to work the door. And he was like, okay. And then he said, like, one of his first shifts, Holtzman pulled him aside. He's like, you better quit that fucking door. Hey, she's never gonna respect you. And so he said, buddy. He's like, he went out of town for a weekend and then he just had to pretend like he was out of town for 3 weeks so that he didn't have to come back to work.
He actually hid like from the store.
Hilarious.
Afraid to like come in or do any spots. Like, and then when he came back, they were giving him.
He's like, I just told him like, I'm going on a tour, so
through Korea
I won't be able to.
Or some shit.
Yeah.
I got so much love in the beginning. And I remember when it changed and I know what changed it. I know the exact thing that changed it.
Well,
just to be real, so Mitzi was starting to get sick. She was starting to get sick, and Tommy and Paulie asked me if I would go over and help her out for a couple of days. So I had a job. I had another job. I was teaching boxing as like my side gig.
Yeah,
I was making good money doing that. And so I went over and I hung with Mitzi, and I love Mitzi.
God,
and
I
totally
wish you
got along
told me
with
I
her.
I would have never let you go there.
I totally got along with her, obviously, and I was doing like real shit. You know what I mean? She needed help. This is 12 years ago when she needed help. So I was like doing real shit, cooking some stuff, helping her get her fucking pants. Like real shit was going on.
Yeah.
But we got along great and I loved her. And so I did that for like 3 or 4 days just to pop in and help out and see what I could do. And then Paulie calls me and he's like, my mom really loves you. Can you like go over every day? Like every day?
You're now.
And I was like, bro, I can't go over every day. I have a job. I'm doing, and I just can't dive into that world like that.
Yeah.
I can't.
They did it to so many people, and I was furious.
Yo, and then all of a sudden, my spots stopped. I stopped getting consistent spots. Well, so they played me on some political shit.
Mike didn't want to be a slave.
You know what I mean?
We needed that.
I wasn't going to do it, so I had to figure out my own way. So like I was going through a crazy rebellious phase that when they gave me spots, I'd run the light. Like,
hell yeah.
Like long, I would run the light. I would be like, in my mind, I'd be like, fuck it. I'm once a week, maybe. Yeah. I'm going half hour.
That's
nice.
Fucked.
And I would still get the spot so every week.
Yeah.
So like the Comedy Store is its own personality. It's got its own,
yeah.
it's legendary.
It's, crazy.
It's the number one place ever. But it's got like its own mind fuck to where sometimes the Comedy Store would feel like it was bigger than comedy itself.
Yeah.
So you would have to, I felt like if you like rebelled against it and like fought it, you would actually, they would respect you more.
Yeah.
For sure.
But then Paulie, like, you know, he like, then I got a bunch of spots and then all of a sudden like Paulie like wanted to get in one of my movies.
Oh yeah.
And then I couldn't do it because it just wasn't working out. He
because you wanted your movie to be good, you mean?
I wanted to sell my fucking movie.
Yeah.
So I couldn't put him in the fucking movie, and all of a sudden, there go my spots again.
Yeah. It's
damn like,
it.
You know what? I don't play politics well.
Yeah.
I don't. Agree. I don't either.
I don't.
And I don't like that they did that. See, I got lucky because
that's
I wasn't
shit.
A comic when I was taking care of Mitzi, but they threw me into that, and then all of a sudden, I'm in the Dominican Republic with her getting stem cell injections, and I'm like, this is like Weekend at fucking Bernie's.
Yeah.
I'm going to show it. He already hated me at that point. We were fighting like crazy.
Who?
Paulie. And so when we got back, I was like, if she don't make it, like I signed a paper in the Dominican that said if she gets sick there, they're not going to treat her in the United States. I was like, great.
Yeah.
I'm fucking dead.
How is she? Where is she?
She's fine. I mean, I go to visit her. I took Holtzman.
She's fine. I would say she's fine.
How old is she?
86. That's for where she's at.
That's
we're
like 20
fine.
Years of Parkinson's, though. So that's like 140.
And it's not Parkinson's. If you say that, Rick,
the
you
shakes.
Never get spots again. I'm kidding.
What is
it? Was Alzheimer's. Alzheimer's has the same symptoms as Parkinson's and, wait, what did I say? Dementia. I'm sorry. Parkinson's and dementia all fall under
She only remembers banging Argus.
Yeah, that's it.
No, you're right. And even me, like, she would look at me, she, like, when I was doing stand-up and I'd go visit her, she'd be like, how's the waitressing going? Like, she only remembers a certain time. No. So dementia is
Argus
a fucking...
Argus came and knocked that
awful.
Thing out yesterday.
And dementia, all the, they have all the same symptoms. So every time I'd take her to a doctor and they'd say Alzheimer's or... the Parkinson's, she would goodbye and we'd go and I'm like, but you didn't get any diagnosis? Too bad, they don't know what you're talking about. Okay, let's go.
She's a legend. I mean, she's one of those and female then we just have to badasses.
Leave. I got the call from Duncan when he was still telling, hey man, I got a great opportunity for you. I'm like, what?
Yeah man, you're gonna be Mitzi's assistant just like Jim Carrey.
I'm not doing that.
What?
I'm not doing that, man. Everyone who does that gets fired. They never perform again.
Oh, okay. Celebrity.
I thought I'd try, man. Kidding. Have a good day.
Where is Duncan? Where's
New York?
Dunk?
He
is
moved to New York, that little shit.
He did?
Really?
I love New York. I mean, I love Duncan.
Yo, Duncan. So Rogan had me on the road as a middler, and he had Duncan as his opener for a long time.
Oh, my God.
So I was with Duncan consoling him through his heartbreak when he broke up with Mary Lynn.
Oh, Mary Lynn.
Right, Mary Lynn?
Natasha was
after. Was he married to her?
No, but Duncan, I love him dearly, but he falls in love instantly.
I was like walking the streets.
Yeah, we hooked him up with this girl, Fern, and he was in love with her in a second. And then it was like heartbreak. I'm like, really? So, but Mary Lynn he went out with for a while.
Yeah, and I was like, he was broken. She broke up with him.
Was Mary Lynn
him.
Someone I know?
Yeah, she worked at Mary Lynn Rice Club.
Oh, that was Duncan's girl?
Duncan's girl.
Hilarious.
That's how I first met her, through him.
He was crushed on the road. I remember
devastated.
I feel like it was Kansas City or somewhere, but somewhere Duncan and I were take a long walk, and I was just like coaching him through this heartbreak. And I remember
if you need a coach, Mike, you're a pretty good coach.
The closer. Call
right,
the
but meanwhile, when I was heartbroken over
ABC,
like...
ABC, always be closer.
Listen, always.
That, I had a good run.
You still have a good run.
I'm still running. I'm running. You know what I mean? You're settled, married, kid.
I'm running.
I'm fucking running. You're
I'm running.
Running
around.
I think about it all the time, but this fucking place didn't help.
No. Well, you mean Hollywood, period.
I'm talking about this building.
Yeah.
This building.
That's when you, early when you're like, you ever been to the basement? I'm like, oh, I bet he's been to the basement.
Don't you hate it now that it's a real club and they lock everything?
There's rooms everywhere with people in them now.
Dude, when we had the dead years, oh my God, this place was full anywhere.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Same. Yeah. We did the same shit. We just didn't talk about it. Hey, I'm not telling you any of my shit.
You did shit here?
Hell yeah.
You did?
Hell yeah.
Unacceptable. You know, what? That's not classy.
I don't like that.
For guys.
But they were my boyfriends.
Double standard.
It wasn't a rando that I just met in the audience.
Yo, I met randos in the audience that were on dates. Literally. Ari remembers.
Yeah.
Ari remembers some shit.
Ari Shaffir or this
He brings it up every time I see him. Cause
Shaffir, He's terrible. He's been back from his little retreat, whatever he went to.
His
he's
walkabout?
Less than a week.
Yeah.
And I've seen his balls three times, honestly,
he
on
can't
the
stop
internet.
Pulling them out.
They're always out.
I can't. They were out early in his career.
Yeah.
He was
I could
draw his balls
them
out
from
the
memory.
Forever.
If they committed a crime, I'd be like, oh, I'll do the sketch.
I got
low-hanging balls.
I got
balls.
A text from
disgusting
one
see.
Of the girls that works at the... the Zanies in Nashville. And she
was that's
like,
where they were. Him and Bert Kreischer
she's
with
like,
their nuts
oh,
out.
Jesus.
She's just like, on stage.
I saw something tonight I thought I'd never see. I'm like, what's that? She sends me a picture. I'm like, oh, it's Ari's balls. I've seen them
like
400
no head
times.
In there.
What?
They're on my phone.
What do you mean you've seen them? I go, ask them to do the snail race. And she's like, I don't think I want to know what that is. I'm like, well, that's when the snails race up the side of the microphone stand. And
I was just in Nashville.
It's the worst.
Yeah. Disturbing. A large ball sack on that guy, Ari Shaffir.
Yeah. He's going to have some balls to do what he does.
No
is
doubt.
What he has.
Holocaust balls.
Right?
Yep.
Pulling them
just
out everywhere. Angry.
Unnukable balls.
Yeah. Angry balls.
I think one of the first times as a doorman that I walked into a gentleman and a lady was Mike Young. And I was like, oh, fuck. Okay. All right.
Where
well, you
I?
Said gentleman and lady, so you lost me. I didn't know who you were talking
you
about.
Son of a
what
bitch.
What room was I in? That's what I want to know.
I can't remember. It was either the ladies' room and the main room.
Okay.
That was always a solid path.
Yeah. I think
I
that was where it was.
I would always go in there and be like, oh, like right before I could hear, and I'm like, damn it.
Yeah.
So I would just leave.
I disgust myself with the shit that I did. You know what it was? I know what was in my mind.
Don't disgust
yourself.
No,
but I'm saying it's not cool.
How life works.
I know, but in my mind, I know what I've always been thinking. I've always thought to myself, life should be an adventure. I always thought about adventure.
Yeah.
Like,
live for the story.
Live for the story. Yeah. I swear to God, I used to always have this thought in my head.
Plus, we need the material.
Well, I always thought in my head, I was like, as a kid, I literally would think to myself, I want to live hard, or like just live fun adventures till I'm a certain age. Then I want to write about them, and then I want to be able to like make a living off telling stories somehow. That was my thought. I didn't know that the adventures would keep going this fucking long. Like, they're not stopping.
No.
But they should stop for everyone's health, for just for fucking physical being. Yeah.
Your hamstrings, all kinds of
shit.
You
know what I mean? My foot is cramping. I'm getting weird shoulder pain.
I think health's what does it, because basically my stories all stopped the moment I got diabetes. It was like, man, the fun ends.
Boo.
How you doing, though? You're good.
I guess so. I feel
you
good.
You maintain it, right?
Yeah. I mean,
as long as you do the right thing.
I'm doing 5 shots a day.
Are you on 5 shots a day?
Yeah. But, you know, I take care of myself now. Yeah. It's not as fun as it always was.
Right.
You know, I was 5 to 10 drinks a night, you know, an eighth of pot every day.
Now what, can you smoke weed at all?
I could smoke weed. I don't anymore. I haven't smoked in like 3 years, but that's the one thing. It's actually, smoking is good for your diabetes.
Really?
Because it affects your metabolic rate. So I didn't have as many spikes in terms of my blood sugar, but then I just quit because I was stoned all the time. I was like, fuck, I haven't done anything. But
now no alcohol?
I haven't had alcohol since my 30th birthday.
Wow. Holy shit, man.
Yeah.
That was yesterday, or
that's,
two days ago?
That's 36th birthday. Was
oh
2 days
God.
Ago. And but yeah, my 30th birthday I spent in the ICU at St. Joseph's in Burbank. So
from a diabetes episode?
Yeah, that's how I found out. I went to diabetic shock. And then I was there for a week. Just
I remember
recovering.
Him in Vegas with Dice, and we went to our favorite pizza place, and he was like, no, that place is terrible. It made my stomach hurt. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
And then the next time I went, I'm like, Rick is crazy. And I was like, wait a minute. This tastes like detergent. Like, all of a sudden it started psyching me out because he got so sick. I thought,
yeah.
But it was because he didn't know he was.
Yeah.
He didn't realize.
I got sent to. My main problem was I had like stomach issues.
Right.
And so I
went
to.
We all stopped going to that pizza place, by the way, just so you know. Anyway.
Well, that was my fault. But so I went to a gastrointestinologist, and that asshole, this is where I learned never trust Greek people.
Right.
Okay.
And so that doctor was like, well, you have this, and this is your problem, and this. And so he gave me a bunch of medicine, and I just stayed sick as shit. So like I spent like $10,000 because I didn't have insurance to have all these tests done just so some guy could lie to me about what I had.
That is so fucked up and upside down.
It happens all the fucking time.
It does happen all the time.
So then
you got to self-educate.
Yeah, it turns out I had diabetes, and the moment I started taking that, all my stomach problems were caused by ketoacidosis, and so I used to throw up like 10 times a week.
Really?
Every week for like 5 years.
I thought it was bulimic.
Yeah, like it just, I would eat something and I'd be like, uh-oh. And then I'm just like, I mean, we're talking projectile, mm-hmm. The Exorcist style. Like I couldn't go on dates because it'd be like, fuck. She'd be like, let's go eat somewhere. I'd be like, let's not eat. What if we just didn't eat?
And well, how many doctors did you see before the doctor like locked it in and said what it was?
Probably like 6.
Right.
And the doctor who finally figured it out was the doctor at the hospital because he just had... Because they didn't know what was going on, he just pricked my finger and tested my blood sugar and then was like, oh, that's absurd.
Off the chart.
Yeah. It was like 560. And he tells me that. I'm like, what's it supposed to be? He's like, under 140. I'm like, oh, that's not good.
Does it run in your family?
No. No one I know of has it. But my grandpa once told me, he was like, well, I had cousins that died when they were young, but it was the 50s. So who
knows
what they
had.
Nobody
knows what they had.
Right.
But like that, I just, because I have type 1, which is juvenile diabetes technically,
right?
But I didn't get it until my 20s, so it seems like I was too old to have that, and I was skinny, so they didn't think I had type 2,
right?
So no one thought we should check this out.
Yeah.
But now you got it under control.
No, I'm good.
Yeah.
I take care
Mike's
of it.
A health nut.
I am a health nut.
He worries about it.
I'm a hypochondriac to the 10th
are
degree.
You really?
Totally.
I am a little bit too. All right, maybe a lot of it, but I don't talk about
no,
it.
No, health is all that fucking matters.
But here's the weird part.
You don't have your shit.
It's crazy.
It don't matter what the fuck's going on.
I think
about
it all the time
about
now.
Your fucking,
yeah.
You know what I mean? You appreciate what's going on now.
Dude,
like,
I was on
it
set.
It doesn't matter.
I was on set on the Geico commercial I did yesterday, and I'm lecturing the other actors about how they just need to get blood tests done at least once a year.
Yeah.
The guy's like, well, I have SAG insurance, but I haven't gone to the doctor in 3 years. I'm like, just once a year, get your blood panel done. And why? Well, it's important to know what's going on in your body. And then I'm like, am I really this asshole now? I'm lecturing like a 28-year-old.
I don't do that, but I'll diagnose myself with things.
Yeah.
But I did get blood work done. I don't know.
You got that Irish
ago?
Shit where you guys don't really go to the doctor that much.
No,
nobody checks on you. Don't yeah.
Seriously,
check.
I'd have to like lose a limb and be like, this fell off. Can you put it back on? Like, it would be that. I'm pretty bad.
I get a physical every 8 months.
You're so Jewish.
I walk
I
right to
it.
Cedar Sinai. I live two blocks from Cedar Sinai. I go to my doctor. He's like, you know, whatever. He's like, listen, I got to be honest. He's like, insurance, they won't cover you for physical, so you got to say something's wrong. I'm dizzy. I go there, I say I'm dizzy. He knows I'm not dizzy. He does my whole physical.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that's how shady insurance shit is.
I'm the worst. I'm taking pictures of things and putting it on Google Image and being like, how much longer before I die?
Before I went into diabetic shock, I started getting really, really sick. I started losing all this weight. So I started typing that shit into the fucking computer.
Oh, it's the worst.
I was stage 4 stomach cancer, about to die. So then,
How depressed were you?
I was so depressed. And I set up an appointment at the SAG clinic. And it was like, yeah, we can get you in 5 weeks from now. I'm like, okay. That's what you got to do, I guess. So I set it up.
Fuck
and then
that. I run right home.
Dude, I was so sick. And I had lost like 30 pounds. I weighed like 120 pounds.
Jeez,
damn, and I was up here one night. People started going, man, you look terrible. I'm like, oh, I know. I'm going to the doctor in 2 weeks. And then I was up here. Two nights before I went to the hospital, and Boone Shakalaka comes up to me, and he's like, what's wrong with you? And I go, I don't know, man. I'm just kind of sick. You look like you got AIDS. And I was just like, God
that's
damn.
That's a pot calling the kettle black.
I am dying.
AIDS patient.
And I'm sitting there, I'm just thinking about how I got stage 4 stomach cancer because of Google, and Dr. Boone Shock says I have AIDS. And I'm just like, oh, I'm so fucking doomed. I won't
make
it to 30.
Thank God you didn't kill yourself that night.
I should have just taken.
That's a suicide night.
Yeah,
that's a suicide night.
I remember I thought I was like the only weirdo that would diagnose myself with things. And there was like a few other people that I met. Like my mom says I picked it up from dating too many Jews, but that's not true. I had it all my life, I swear. Because I would lay in bed and be like, oh, it's going to happen. And I was like 12. So I know I was crazy. And so I remember. I ran into Sebastian Skilko, and I go, wow, I never noticed people's weight. Like, I don't know if people go up or down in weight.
Yeah.
It's not my thing. I know, I only see color. Yeah. I never see weight. So Sebastian came in, and I noticed. I mean, he lost. It was a weird.
He was on one of his cleanses back in the day.
He thought he diagnosed himself with something. I can't remember what it was, but he freaked himself out so much. He lost like 15 pounds in like a week.
Yeah.
I was like, yes, I'm not the only psychopath in this building.
Let me tell you, nerves and fear will make you lose weight immediately.
Intense.
He looked like scared, like that frightening. Because when you lose it quick, that's not good.
Yeah. When, first of all, I've lost it quick on heartbreak. That's no joke.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
On heartbreak,
do
I've heartbreak, been down I've overnight.
Yeah.
10 pounds gone.
Heartbreak, I have had to wear 2 pairs of jeans.
Heartbreak.
So that people don't notice
opposite.
That I am not there.
Some people go the opposite, though. Yeah. Some people during heartbreak will eat their ass off. Heartbreak for me, doom.
Yeah, it was the same way.
I got down to 110 pounds.
Any sort of depression.
Pants were falling off. I had to put 2 pairs of jeans on.
That's not good for you because you're already thin.
No, but I like that where you don't eat.
Yeah.
Like, because you can't swallow. And I would be like, oh, you
but
could
you
go
don't
to
know,
McDonald's.
It's not even that you're not eating.
I was
eating.
Just never hungry when I was.
Your nerves on the inside are working overtime and they're eating your body. You could eat. You could be eating. You're still going to lose the weight. It's not about not eating. It's the what the fuck's happening in your body.
Burning from the inside out.
You're burning from the inside out.
But there was a time I was only eating Power Bars and drinking Coke soda.
Don't drink Diet Coke.
Oh, I would never drink Diet. Ever. I'm not gay.
Yeah.
I mean, I swallow, but I'm not gay.
Do you?
Yeah. That got weird. How come that joke didn't work in this room?
I think of Eleanor. You're like family. I've known
know,
her for
like,
so long.
Yeah.
His face,
you know what I mean?
Like,
you don't
like
fucking
he was nauseous
do that.
She would,
that.
Yeah.
You don't do that.
She would,
nobody does that with you.
She would be more like a sister, though, if she would have just hooked you up with a niece.
Yeah, that
would have
been a good thing.
God.
Instead of straight up ignoring
with my
me.
My godchild. Let me send my godchild to a Flyers
game. That's exactly what you said. Hell, you got he's a great guy.
You know what? I would have been like, here comes Alexa, and I would have sent my brother Charlie because he's the biggest Flyers fan there is. And he had like a playoff beard at the time, I think.
Oh, I think we were one. Taken Charlie.
We were like five games out, I think. I would have taken make Charlie. The playoffs, yeah. Charlie would have went.
Yo, Elle, the whole time that you were a waitress, did you know you were going to be a comedian?
No, not one time.
Was there a moment?
Never. Never. Once in the original room, it was like really slow. Do you guys remember Russell Starlin? He changed his name to Willie Bingo.
I don't remember.
I would have remembered a Willie Bingo.
Well,
so
that's
no.
a better name, but Russell was his name. And remember. He ran everything here. Russell.
I remember. Truly. You've talked about him before. Oh, so maybe I do. That's remember. All I know.
Truly is the only person that I know of, maybe one other guy, that has all the codes to all the safes in this building. That's how much Mitzi trusted this guy. He was terrific.
So
there's more than one safe?
When you say there's multiple safes, in my mind, I'm like, yes. Gotta rob this fucking
yeah,
place.
Thought, yeah.
We have where them everywhere.
Where's the good one?
Is there 100,000 so, cash in here?
Right you know, if you had to guess. If anybody would know, it's Russell.
If you had to guess.
Where's the safe in Mitzi's old office?
No, all the money's gone. If they,
there's no cash
if,
in this
if a manager yeah, didn't say, rob it back in the day.
Any money would... Yeah.
How about Renazizi openly stole?
Okay,
and told everyone about it. He would clip $80 a night on the side.
He was
okay,
on the Harris Pete plan.
You're talking about $80 a night. We had this jackass of an ex-manager that would come in here and go into one of the safes because it had like you would put your envelopes in there at the end of the night.
Yeah,
and it went into the ground. It was like a little slot. He would put a fucking hanger in there and pull the
who?
The drops out. I you can't say his name. He got in trouble. We went after him.
Is he fired?
No, he was already gone. He was coming in here a long time after he'd been gone and still doing this. And we didn't know who the fuck was doing it.
Did you prosecute him?
Russell was gone at this point. So yeah, they prosecuted. At first they thought it was Russell. It wasn't Russell because the safe wasn't being open. You could see, wow. You could see people, you could see things getting caught and pulling. Anyway, so he stole a lot, this piece of shit.
We all knew him.
Oh yeah. He was a manager here for a while. And so, we had that.
Tell
and,
me more about
Russell,
the stealing from the safe, okay?
It's not just that. But and they would blame everybody else. But anyway, Russell wasn't the guy. He never stole. He was a very trustworthy. But one time he was hosting and they couldn't find the next four comics. Every name he called out, nobody came up. And this was when we did potluck all night.
Yeah.
Like names were drawn all night. Yeah. Like it wasn't no paid regulars came in. No, if they came in, I'm sure they could work out, but we didn't do it like we do it now. It was they would go all night. And so Russell was hosting and he was like, five comics haven't showed. The next comic, Eleanor Kerrigan. And I was like, what? And I had a tray in my hand. And I was like, no. He's like, Eleanor, get up here. And I put the tray down and I'm like, and I went up and just roasted Russell. And that was it. That was the only time ever.
Are you serious?
But I never was like, oh, I gotta get back up. There was four people in the audience. I'm like, you guys are miserable. Who the fuck would want to do this?
Yeah.
It's Bryce. All Freddie's fault. After Freddie died, that's why.
God rest his spirit. Soul.
He got in you.
He's the one who used to break my balls. You should be on stage. You should be. We should be doing the road together. You should be a comic. You don't get it. You're always doing
I love
like
Freddie.
Oh yeah.
God. Ugh.
It's awful.
I remember. Yeah.
It was his fault. I'm telling you.
I played.
I'll fight him when I die. I'm gonna beat the shit out of
didn't
him.
Didn't he pass away
him.
In Sacramento?
No, right here.
Here.
Oh, it was here.
Venice. Yeah.
Oh, you know what? He was playing Sacramento. He was playing like the Punchline
possibly.
The week before. And mm-hmm. they told me he was like in bad shape and like had like gotten hammered and fell asleep at like a door in a bathroom. So, mm-hmm. And I didn't know he was going through it like that.
Yeah.
But I was in Sacramento the week after he was there. Right.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah. He was going
he
through
was
a
so
real
fucking
downward
funny.
Spiral. But yeah, oh, fucking funny as they get. I mean, and he would break my balls all the time. A lot of people would say, do stand-up. You should be doing stand-up. And I was like, I don't want to do fucking stand-up.
Well, I remember
Misery
asking
loves
you. What,
company.
Yeah, when we were, it's probably we were in New York, I think,
oh,
with
yeah.
Dice.
We were hiding from
you.
Dice, basically.
Yeah, she was like saving me because it was when Dice was a full-time hand camcorder movie director.
Jesus Christ.
And so it'd be like 24 hours. Let's go to the pizza shop and then you'll be Argus. And I'm like, it's 3 in the morning.
Yo, he's nuts.
Dude,
yeah. Legit.
Yeah. No. And Eleanor would be like, Andrew, he's not going with you. Like, what? She's like, he's not going with you. He's going to go to bed. And then look on Dice's face was like his mom just fucking
punished
him. Yeah.
Like scolded him.
Oh, fine. All right. Go to sleep, Shermanator. I would go to my room just like, I hope I'm not in trouble, but No. Yeah, I remember asking her then, like, why don't you do comedy? And she's like, fuck that. You guys are fucking crazy.
And yes, am I wrong?
No, you're right.
I know I'm crazy, and I love it. Yeah. I've never been happier, honestly. Like,
it was a natural
transition.
When you
find out what you're supposed to do, then you're like, oh, this is great. But I mean, watching how miserable all of us assholes were, especially because it was so dead here. It's not like you're going to other comedy clubs and seeing packed out shows. It was
right.
You're working here when there's eight people in all three rooms.
You've seen it all. Yeah. Yo, Dice is such a trip. So I gotta just tell you, like two weeks ago, I'm at a restaurant. I'm having dinner with my buddy.
Yeah, you told me all about this.
I'm with Saget. You know, I wrote this thing for Saget. We're hanging out a lot. I'm with Saget and with this guy Chris Case, who's a writer, who's a really funny, good dude. And Saget had to go, and I'm just with Chris Case, and Dice is there. Dice walks up to our table. And he's like, Mike, you mind if I talk to you outside for a minute? I'm like, I'm with my buddy. I don't know. He put me on the spot.
Of course.
I'm like,
did.
Chris, do you mind if I like go outside and talk to Dice for a second, like at a regular restaurant? And please. I go outside. And
I'm
Andrew,
gonna tell you the precursor to it, but please say it.
Yeah. I mean, he just wanted to talk. He just literally, there was nothing special on his
mind.
He was like, "How's it going? Like, I'm so happy for you. Things are great. You know, my Showtime show's doing great.
I'm so happy for you." And he brought it back to him.
Right back to him. It went right to him. My Showtime's going great. I gotta tell you the funny shit. Paparazzi were in the back of the restaurant.
Okay.
But they weren't looking to shoot Dice. But before they even had their cameras aimed at anything, Dice goes, "Not now."
Yes!
"Not now, fellas. Always. Not now." I'm like, I don't think they were actually gonna take a picture. He goes, "Not now. I'm having a cigarette. I'm
always
talking to a friend."
Funny.
But you know, look, I come from being a fan of Dice. For me, growing up watching Dice, it's hard to like transition that moment into being a friend and like a peer type of thing.
I'll tell you.
So it's weird.
Who may or may not be a fan and friend anymore. I mean, he still loves them, but you were telling about like Doug Ellen, how big of a fan he was of
Dice. He was
Dice.
A huge fan.
And I mean, I'm sure he still is, but it's like.
And by the end of it, Doug was like, "Dice is fucking nuts, bro." He's fucking crazy.
He put him in season 8 of Entourage, the final season. And then Andrew would show up to his fucking house with like rewritten scripts, but not typed out, like handwritten in Sharpie. And Doug was like, "The fuck?"
Andrew would call me during that time. I never got a call from Dice in my life. When he was on Entourage, because I was friends with Doug, Andrew would call me and go, "Listen, I just want, you know, if you could say something to Doug," this is where his mind was at. He's like, "I just want Doug to know that I'm helping him out.
Oh, yeah.
I'm actually helping him show.
He did the same thing to everybody else."
He goes, "Now, what he should do is he should write a storyline where me and Johnny Drama go to Vegas and I lose a ton of money and then I win my money back and my career gets jump started and it's all because of Johnny Drama. Could you call Doug and see if he wants to write?"
Meanwhile,
it's like, you know how hard it is to just write any fucking storyline?
Yeah.
He wanted it to be all about him. But there is a reason that he's a fucking legend.
No, you're right.
So there's something in his brain that's crazy
that
enough.
That just knows, yeah.
That he's what he is. I mean, you can't be normal to do what he did.
No, yeah, you can't be normal.
No normal person is selling out Madison Square Garden.
No.
Yeah.
They're not. In his mind, he sees he has a vision.
He's ahead of himself.
He is.
Like
he's got some genius shit going on, but it's on a real street level.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's like a street level genius.
He jokes. He says,
"Yeah,
I'm
he's
ahead
not going
of time.
To Harvard, but
yeah, no,
he's
yeah,
fucking.
He don't even
but
know
he
where
has
that
a vision.
Is.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
He has vision.
He'll sell you 8 pounds of coke when you don't do coke.
Totally. That's right. That night he ran into him at Craig's. They were at a party, a finale at one of the best restaurants. After the Fox show, I can't remember the name of the restaurant.
You talk about the night I saw him?
Yes. They were somewhere else at somebody else's restaurant.
Yeah.
That was on the cooking show with him.
Oh, right. The cooking.
Okay.
Right.
He loves
the
cooking show.
Listen, they win the cooking show. They have a big party, right? This guy has like the number one restaurant. Andrew goes, "He didn't make the lamb chops, right? We're leaving." Swear to God. Top notch. So now they're at fucking Craig's.
Oh, yeah. That's why they were at Craig's?
Melrose.
Yeah.
Because Andrew was starving and he hated everybody he was around. Like
he
and
loved
that,
me.
So he
when
was
he
like,
saw me,
oh,
it was like I
Mike
saved
Young.
His life.
Yeah. Fuck this!
He was like, oh,
I'm gonna get him.
There's another madman. Yeah, can he can relate, and we'll go talk. And I'm gonna. And in his mind, he's thinking, I'm gonna save him from whatever that normal
yeah.
guy is he's sitting
sure,
with.
Sure, he totally. Don't need that yeah. normal guy. He needs real shit.
He got me. He got and like he kept me out there for like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Like I was being rude to my boy.
And they got
to
go and be like, it was sorry, like, Dice wanted to talk about nothing at all. I apologize.
He wanted to blow smoke in my face
yeah.
and tell me how great he's doing.
Yeah, he's doing great. He's doing great.
We all
Dice
know
is
that.
Never going to be poor.
Yeah, we have secondhand cancer.
Yeah.
Everything's fine with him. We're not good. And no, I love him, but that's what he does.
Yeah,
I always joke and say the way you can get him off the phone, just start talking about yourself and don't stop. And he'll be like, all right, got to go.
Enough.
You know what it is? Sometimes, do you ever think like you're not narcissistic enough to be super
yeah.
successful?
Yeah.
In my mind, I'm like, I'm thinking maybe I'm not narcissistic enough because I work with people who are fucking, they're so
insane.
About themselves.
Yeah.
I'm like, damn, maybe I need to be more about myself, but I don't have it. It's a genetic thing. It's
yeah,
like in your
I'm
DNA.
The same way.
I don't
same.
Have that shit.
I don't even know how to, like, people are like, we got to ask people for what you want. I'm like, I don't want to bother anyone.
I'm with you.
I can burn bridges and
oh, yeah.
I don't know
matches.
How to build them. I'm yeah. just like, whatever.
I have been unmanageable. Like, I've left many managers, so I don't play the game.
Next
like,
time you leave one, could you just ask them if they'll
they
take me
you?
As a replacement? Because
I
need one.
I should be a manager. I've thought about it. I've literally thought to myself, why don't we just start a management company? Like, comedians know all
I'm
the
in.
Best minds in comedy.
Yeah.
Like, that's how
well,
I started.
I'm trying to get Peltz back into it because she was good because she was a witch.
Yo, the way, honestly, when I did the Young American Comedy Tour, the only thought that I had in my mind was sitting on the patio. I had heard that the Kings of Comedy had made like millions of dollars, like with D.L. Hughley, Bernie Mac.
Yeah, sure.
So they like made like $15 million in a year. And I'm looking at, and this is, you know, whatever, 9 years ago, 10 years ago. And I'm looking at Sebastian. I'm looking at Brett. I'm seeing Butch Bradley here. And I'm in my mind, I'm like, we got to have $3 million worth of talent. That's exactly what my thought was. I'm like, we are not yes. way less funny
There's
than
no
them.
There's no way.
Yeah.
We're just not famous.
Yeah.
And that's how I thought about that. But it's like, in my mind, it's like if comics work together more.
How did you guys do? Did you make $3
million? No. But we made a bunch of money in three
no, it's
years.
Good. Yeah.
But
I remember the tour. I remember it well. Yeah.
It was awesome. But like I made it up out of thin air, so I didn't have any business skills. So like the improvs were giving us offers, and the offers. So I would get the money because I own the tour, and then I would just pay Sebastian, Brett, Butch, Tony, or whoever was on it. Did you ever do one with us?
Uh-uh. I talked to you about doing it once, but
yeah.
I think you stopped before.
It was, like the
it was towards
end.
The end. Yeah.
Yeah. Bobby Lee, Ren Azizi, everybody was floating in and out. Kreischer, it was fucking badass.
Hysterical.
It was amazing. But I didn't have enough business sense to know, like, I should have just made it a profit-sharing thing for everybody. We all should have owned it because then we all would have pushed to promote
to
it.
To promote.
Instead, I was, like, fucking babysitting these guys. I couldn't get fucking... I
so
couldn't get
like
Brett up
PA.
For radio.
Yeah.
I couldn't get Sebastian. Like, wake up. We're going to radio. Like, we can do this. Like, this could be a big thing. And the improv ran it for 2 years, 2 or 3 years straight, actually, to
wow.
all the improvs. But I remember I was at they brought me to the table, and I was doing this on my own. I'll never forget Robert Hartman, who like runs the improvs or whatever.
A horrible human being, and I don't care.
This motherfucker,
who knows it.
I'm sitting at the table, and he like says some like side shit to me because we're talking about like re-upping the tour. And
mm-hmm.
I'm gonna get all the dates. And he's like, so who owns the tour? Like, who owns the tour? I said, I own the tour. I bought the name. I own the tour. He's like, would you ever think about, like, you know, splitting the tour?
Piece
and
of shit.
I wasn't thinking, I probably should have said yes, I would think about it.
No.
But I said no. Bam. Zero
Done.
Fucking dates.
Yeah.
We got no more dates at the improv.
I mean, he would have given you dates, but he would have owned your ass. Just he did
yeah.
it to every comic. He would shut
yeah.
them down. He did it to Freddie Soto. He
yeah.
did it to a lot of people.
Yeah.
He's a sickening person.
Yeah. He's a fucking bitch made hoe.
Yeah. We could say whatever. We could say his name, his address. Oh, yeah. He's still around that piece of
right.
shit.
He probably owns it.
Listen,
still owns
Levity.
For 10
I'm
grand.
I'm playing there in June.
Good job.
Levity Live.
For 10 grand, I'll make sure he's not alive.
It's so
put
by
it
the way,
out there.
We have a
it's
disclaimer,
cheaper than that.
So it doesn't matter. We can say whatever we want.
I made
so many threats that there's now a disclaimer on the Comedy Store podcast.
Yo, this business, you have to. Oh, it sucks that you have to check yourself, but I have those fucking deep, dark thoughts.
Yeah.
Are you kidding? I have them all the time.
I was going to say the best
thing
about...
I could see the bar. I could see the jail cell closing sometimes. I go too far in my head.
I was going to say that one great thing I love about Dice is when I had problems, when I had my trouble, yes, when my shit went down, Dice was the first dude who came to me from here, mm-hmm, because he knew the guy and he knew the, mm-hmm, world. Mm-hmm. And he was like, listen, you're done. You're done. You're good. It's over. You're even. You got nothing to worry about. Go about your life and do comedy. And he, yeah, made me, like, he calmed me down because I was going through, I was so paranoid on an everyday level. But Dice came at me and he was like, let me talk to you.
Yeah.
And he, like, he said some, you know, he fatherly shit that I needed.
Yeah.
Because
I was
like,
good. That's
I was driving home very paranoid for many,
that
many
was terrible. You can't even tell the, yeah, story.
It was gangster shit. I remember.
Confused.
I worked a parking lot.
I've told the story before.
Yeah.
But
oh, okay.
It doesn't need to be told.
Yeah. Because you can say it without the names. Obviously.
Yeah, but it's just, it doesn't need to be told. I mean, right, you know, I got,
yeah,
beat up.
Shit happened, yeah.
Shit happened.
That's all I remember.
I dove into,
like,
the underworld.
Yeah.
My brother Tommy's a, big listener, so he'll be like, oh, yeah, he'll probably be the only one that gets it. Like, oh, I get it.
Yeah.
You don't say a fucking word.
Yeah.
Shut your mouth.
Yeah. By the way, I shut my mouth, and because I didn't, you know, after all that shit went down, I got visited by the cops because, mm-hmm, there was a rat in the underworld. There was like a, there, yeah, was an informant in there. So, like, LAPD organized crime was coming at me, like, every week, banging down my door. No joke. But I never said shit.
No.
And so, I always wanted to do a comedy movie about this because all of a sudden, I was becoming, like, the accidental boss. Like, because I didn't say anything, the respect...
That's a great...
The respect,
yeah,
that I was getting from the underworld was at another level. And people that I didn't even know, no joke, were coming to me like, yo, anything you need, anything you want, are you okay? I'm glad you're okay, Mike. You're a good guy. Hey, we heard about what happened. I'm just happy you're okay. Anything you need. I was like, I want to fucking tell jokes. I just want to go back to the comedy store. And that's it.
If you guys want to put up money for a movie, you could do that.
That I would take their money. I would absolutely take their money. I would take their
that's
money.
That's a good businessman right there.
But
the business sense has grown in this Mr. Young's production.
Totally.
I like it.
But is I always thought there is a premise there of like a, like,
yeah,
it's almost like a Woody Allen type of thing where it's like,
where,
you
it's
know,
too
a reluctant,
bizarre. Yeah, yeah.
Where like they're pressing you to become like a crime boss, but you don't want to be.
You're just like, I just don't want to tell on people.
You know what I mean? But like now you're like, you are the boss.
I just don't want to get involved.
I'm a good human being.
Bother?
That's all.
Do you have to come here every day?
Yeah.
Like, it's hysterical.
Totally, totally. That's the tone. That is exactly,
yeah,
the tone of
all
it.
All nervous. There's a girl.
I was so nervous.
I grew up with.
So fucking long.
I get
were
it.
You here?
I was
you were here.
Here. Yeah, I just remember you pulling into the lot. And you were fairly bruised up still.
Oh, extremely.
And I wasn't good enough friends with you to be like, hey, what's up with your face, man? So I just remember parking your car and then being like, something's up with Mike.
Right. It looks more than a hockey beating.
Yeah, yeah. That's
not just one hockey ball.
Yeah.
But then
that's a stick.
I found out, I think, you know, just through word at the comedy store what was going on. I was like, oh, fuck.
Man.
That was
this
scary.
This guy's way cooler than me.
I can take a punch.
It's not just...
We've seen it.
I can take a motherfucking punch.
Yeah, he must have taken the wrong guy's girl to the ladies' room in the main room because...
By the way, that's what everybody was thinking.
Yeah.
Everyone was,
yeah,
like, this had to be over a girl. It, yeah, was not over a girl,
no,
at all.
Yeah.
It was just me being dumb Detroit Mike fighting a guy that I didn't know. And he turned out to be a very bad dude.
Yeah.
Connected dude.
Yay.
You know.
Those are the best kind to hit. That happened to my friend, and he had to move to Florida.
Did he?
Mm-hmm. Philadelphia. It was pretty bad. They left him for dead. It was. I mean, they beat him really, really bad.
But you know what's fucked up? All that whole world, that whole the underworld, the gangster shit, it's real, but it's all also a facade. It's also bullshit because
to an extent, yeah.
No, it's all bullshit because it's all ego.
You say that. I'm from South Philly. I'm going to keep my mouth shut.
You say whatever you want. I'm from Detroit. We got
you ain't got shit. We beat you in homicides last year. Get your shit together.
I don't think you did, actually.
I'm just kidding.
I think we're still number one.
We're number one.
Guys, Chicago is really where it's at for murdering these days.
You're true.
No doubt.
They've been trumping us. No.
Damn it.
No, but what you realize is it's
no,
like...
I hear you. Of course.
There's everyone's on both sides of the law. There's, you know what I mean? No,
it's
one's
so
real.
So bizarre.
It's all ego. You know what I mean? You can hire a guy for fucking $85 from Venice Beach to go do some shit for you. Like...
I actually live in Sherman Oaks, but I am available.
If they know that, you're going to have to pay
$1,000. Yeah.
But
I just
saying,
need work, guys.
In that world,
no,
it's like...
No, I agree. I hear you.
Everybody can get got, if you want to be real about it.
True.
Anybody.
And they all turn eventually something crazy.
Everyone except for Mike Young.
Mike, yeah, right. And then the thing flip. I was reading, which I respect, is there was a guy, a very heavy hitter in Philadelphia a while back, one of the highest ranked that ever turned state's evidence. And he was dating a girl, and they broke up. This girl and I had known each other growing up from time to time. We had a few fights. Whatever.
Some hair pulling.
I know Elle can fight, too.
Yeah.
Not hair pulling. I almost died. Punches. Punches. I almost died from this one. This was a bad one. It was kind of like this was the wrong person.
This is why she's got that sawed-off bat in her car.
You're right. In case she ever shows up. So now the guy turned, so they came after her, thinking she was going to turn. She's like, no, I'm not turning. So she kept herself straight for a very long time, never said a word, never did anything, never read it. This piece of shit put a book out, and then in the book, just like, she was nothing to me. Meanwhile, she was like, wait, what?
Motherfucker.
So now she's like, I'm coming for you, motherfucker. And now she's like coming. She honestly, frightening. Yeah. I was reading it today. I'm like, oh my God.
Right. But the days
I almost lost my life to this girl. And
the days of social media are here. It's over. The underworld, the mafia type of shit.
I see what you're saying.
Is really, it was done in the 80s. Like that real, they got no power like that. Like the power isn't like real.
I agree. I think
power. You know what I mean? Corporate has power. Money has power.
It's blinking. It's almost a power outage. Like it's on its last leg.
It ain't shit. My dad, you know the story of my dad. Like my dad used to run an all men's health club in Detroit in the 70s.
Okay.
I love
and the
that.
Heads of the mob that were responsible for like the Hoffa disappearance. They were members of the club.
That guy's from Philly too that they're making that book about. I mean the movie about.
Tony Provenzano?
Yeah.
Yeah. He was part of that whole thing. But my dad was the club manager at the Salford Athletic Club, and everybody's alibi for Hoffa was that they were at the athletic club. So my dad was like beyond connected. You know what I mean? My dad would go to Vegas for $100 with my mom for a week.
Amazing.
So
and back when $100 was like $1,000.
Yeah.
Right. But I'm just saying, like, I knew those type of people when I was a kid, like a little kid. And I didn't ever have to, you know, I never didn't have to call them, didn't ever do business with them. But when all this shit went down, I called my godfather, who was my dad's best friend in Detroit. And I straight up went back to, I had to fly back to Detroit, and they sat me down like a real meeting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, wear black pants to the place that you're going to meet. You know what I mean?
Always
and I sat
funny.
With an old 75-year-old Italian dude,
yeah,
old ass Albanian dude, an old Jew, and an old Irish dude, literally in front of me like this.
Yeah.
And they're like, "What do you want us to do?" I was like,
"When a
nothing.
Jew has listen,
I want to get back on stage.
I just want to tell jokes. When a Jew has a godfather, be worried."
Yeah,
that's
a good rule.
But you know what? Did you ever read the book I Killed?
No.
The comedy book about Seinfeld, Tim Allen,
oh,
all
yeah,
those old
yeah.
school dudes.
I was
dudes.
Like, wait, I know this. Yeah,
so
yeah.
What it is it's a book about their life on the road.
Mm-hmm.
So if you read that book, you see that like I'm not the only one that ever had issues on the road doing comedy or in a situation. Tim, you know, Seinfeld offended like a gangster in Jersey back in his day.
It happens all the time.
You know what I mean? So like it's not so far-fetched because for a while people were like, it's one in a million that this would happen to you. It's really not. When you're a comedian and you're on the road, you're somewhere and you're like alone and there's rest. You know what I mean? You're like, you're
plus we disrespect a lot of people.
So
holy
many people.
Rick.
Yeah.
So many
I can't
people.
Believe have that you, I haven't gotten have, beaten yet.
You do it in a masterful way though.
I'm
Rick's the master of this
shit. Definitely going to get beat up soon.
You're and not going to get, I'm sure you've been threatened a little bit because of your style of your act.
Yeah, yeah,
but you're,
I've angered a few people.
But you do it in a way that's not like, you don't, you walk the tightrope.
Yeah, and I have the benefit of, I'm very physically unthreatening. So like,
he's still a buck 38.
Yeah, when I insult people, the general look on dudes' faces is like, this motherfucker knows I could beat the shit out of him, and he's still insulting me.
Right.
Whereas if you're insulting someone, they're in their mind, they're like, this guy is insulting me, and he probably fucked my girlfriend when she went to the bathroom for 40 minutes.
That only happened once. It's Rogan's fault, by the way, and it happened.
It's
it
always
was here.
Rogan's fault. Always blame Rogan.
Do you have social media stuff you want to promote?
What do I have? I'm Instagram. I'm the real Mike Young.
Okay.
I'm in Instagram. Twitter, real Mike Young.
Oh, I'm glad that you're real.
Thanks, I'm so real.
So proud of you.
A stand-up guy's on Netflix.
Yeah.
Check that out.
My father-in-law loves it. So
I love
it's
it.
A
he
great
loves
movie.
It. I'm so happy.
Yeah.
My man was so excited
when I told him. I'm like, yeah, I know the guy that made it. He's like, what?
I love that he watched that. I swear to God, it's like, you know, that makes your day.
A random dude in Israel just loving it. Like, putting it out like, oh, my... My son-in-law is a comedian. I ought to make sure I tell him to watch this. And I'm like, all right, yeah, no.
Is your wife Jewish?
Yeah.
Oh, so the kid's Jewish. Your kid's Jewish.
Kid's Jewish.
Good for you. Smartened up, Ricky. Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. What else? My Man is a Loser is out now. It's on Amazon and all that other stuff. And I'm doing a bunch of shows. I'm doing the Pantages Saturday with Sebastian.
Oh, nice.
And then he and I are hopping on a bus, and we're doing like a bus tour.
That's great.
Yeah, yeah, me and Sebastian. So we're going to go. We're going to be in Pittsburgh, Milwaukee, Minnesota, Detroit. So check that out. And that's it. Comedy Store.
Yes.
All love. I love you guys.
Love
nice.
You.
Thanks for being on.
Thank you so much for
Thanks
coming.
For having
Appreciate
me.
It. Come to the Comedy Store, guys. Check out a show. 7 nights a week. This shit's packed out now. Get here while you can, because another 5 or 6 years, it's going to be a dead comedy club again. It comes in waves.
I feel like we'll still be here.
Oh, I'm still going to be performing. We'll be getting $5 a night then.
Yay. Right.
Do you think it's going to go? No.
I hope it
won't. We won't get into that conversation.
We'll bring it back. To be continued.
You never know.
Waves.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks, guys. Bye.